Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And once again, that is the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. We're glad to have you, new listeners. Every week, we got new people plugging in to find out what they need to know about this election that's coming down between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. In today's show, well, what's happening with Hillary's emails? Well, the news, it's hitting the news big time, and we're going to tell you some things about Hillary's email, what people are talking about, some clips about that. We're also going to talk some about Donald Trump, and you know, he got all the delegates he needs now. He went over the 1238 mark, even before California and the last state's vote. So he's there. He will be the nominee of the Republican Party. The convention will be going on in July, about the third week of July. And Doc Holliday has plans to go to Cleveland to be at the convention and on the floor as a delegate from the state of Mississippi. So that is going to be good for you, the listeners. So I'll see if I can work on getting some reports there from the convention floor. I also hopefully get some interviews for you and tell you what's going on with not a bird's eye view. I'm on a convention floor view. So I just want to let you know that to be gearing up for the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, because Doc Holliday will give you just an inside story. You're not going to get anywhere else. And that's one reason we do this show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because we can talk about things not everybody hears about in the news. And speaking of that, before we get to the emails of Hillary Clinton, also today we'll be talking some about, there's a black pastor. Everybody go, the racist things that Donald Trump says. Well, do you know he's got a lot of support in the black community compared to any other Republican running for president? Well, there's a black pastor from Cleveland. That's where the convention's going to be. His name is Pastor Darrell Scott, and I'm going to play a little bit from a rally in Cleveland that he spoke, some of his words he had to say about Donald Trump. And we'll play some of that for you today in the second half of the show. But before we get to that, let me tell you about Rick Wiley. How many of you remember that name, Rick Wiley? I've talked about him before on his show. I've had a chance to meet him and talk to him personally two or three years ago. And he was the campaign manager, because he's from Wisconsin. He was hired by Scott Walker. And he ran Scott Walker's presidential campaign, which he spent a lot of money very quickly. And Scott Walker was the first one to drop out of the 17. I mean, it really floored a lot of people when Scott Walker dropped out of the presidential race so early. But he was out of money, and he wasn't going to start borrowing money, he said. And Rick Wiley managed the political campaign, the presidential campaign. And what happened after the Trump people, when it looked like it could be a contested convention? Well, Paul Manafort, the Trump brought in a reliable Republican insider to help his team, and Paul Manafort decided to hire Rick Wiley. And I talked about that a few weeks ago, and I said, I wonder, you know, we went through so much money with Scott Walker. If we go through a lot of money with Donald Trump, I don't know what any situation is. But from the Politico, let me just talk to you a little bit about an article came out in Politico, because last week Trump fires top aide. It's the title. Now, I cannot confirm if Rick Riley was fired or he just resigned, but there was obviously a brush up there. And the headline went on and said, this is the first part of the article. It said, Donald Trump's presidential campaign on Wednesday night, this was last Wednesday night, announced it had parted ways with its national political director, Rick Riley. Trump had made him national political director. And it says it's a move that appears to stem in part from an ongoing turf war atop the campaign. So what was going on? Now, here we got Donald Trump, who's always being called someone who browbeats women. And yet here was a dust up in his own campaign between Rick Riley and there was a lady that helped Karen Giorno, and she was a Lewandowski ally. That's the tough guy that Trump stuck behind, and media and everybody else tried to have Trump's campaign to dismiss this guy that had never run a presidential campaign before. But no, he held on, and one of his true allies that ran Trump's campaign in Florida, Karen Giorno, evidently ran into some problems with Rick Riley. And what did Donald Trump do? He stood by the loyal supporter that ran his Florida campaign, Karen Giorno, and he told Rick Riley to hit the road. He does like women. Donald Trump uses women to help him win, proven by Giorno. And then when it came down to dispute, he sided with his well-placed female in his campaign against a recognized RNC insider, Rick Riley. So you can't say Donald Trump does not like women, or he would have gotten rid of the lady that was running the campaign instead of Rick Riley. But Rick Riley is no longer with the Trump campaign. So that's a little inside that the main news, not going to talk about, but you heard it here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I hope that the news will get out that Donald Trump, he does like women that help his team. He picks people that will make his team a better team. And that's what he's done in business all his life. And that's what just happened last week. So I just want to point that out, because you're not going to hear it on the mainstream media. And because we've talked about Rick Riley before on this show several times in the last year. So just letting you know that you're hearing a story that you probably won't hear unless you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, let's get on to these emails. How about those emails? Well, why are the emails all of a sudden back in the news? But IG, or investigative general of the State Department, who's supposed to be non-political in looking at situations, came out with a report that was condemning Hillary Clinton. And I've heard reported on several mainstream news shows that she might have broke some rules. Well, what are the rules based on? The rules are based on law. L-A-W, folks. She doesn't break rules unless she breaks the law. And the FBI will have more to say about this, but the IG report came out. And let me play a clip from Judge Napolitano of Fox News when he was having a talk with that. Let's play some clip from that, and I'll tell you a little bit what the judge has to say about Hillary Clinton's emails that she says she had done nothing wrong about. Take a listen. Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't Judge Napolitano of Fox News. Not yet. We're going to get to this clip. That was Black Sabbath playing Evil Woman. You want to hear that again? Well, I guess before we hear about these emails, maybe we need to play that again, and then we'll hear from the judge.
I think it's huge. I think it's it goes to the heart. It disputes the heart of Mrs. Clinton's defense. The heart of her defense was that she complied with all State Department regulations and that what the FBI has been doing is just a security review. We now know from Director Comey's own words, the FBI doesn't do security reviews. We now know that this was the security review. The security review is a review of how the State Department keeps safe the secrets entrusted to it. And Mrs. Clinton flunked that review according to this State Department report that came out this morning. What did she do wrong?
Well, Judge, that's what I want to know. That's what Americans everywhere across this country want to know. And Judge, that's what you're an expert. So, Judge, tell us what Hillary Clinton did wrong.
She knowingly and willfully violated her own State Department requirements that she put in place for all other employees with respect to retaining records and making those records transparent. By the time she was Secretary of State, the rules were far more specific than they had been under former Secretaries Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, simply because more of the State Department's work was done electronically in her years than had been done previously. She acted as if those rules didn't exist, whereas she put them in place and she was responsible for enforcing them.
Yeah, so the Federal Records Act changed in 2014 to keep pace with the fact that everybody was on smartphones at that point. She has used as her defense in many instances, I just did what former secretaries of state did. And this report says, yes, you did. Other secretaries of state also didn't do a great job on this, but specifically says her failures were singled out as more serious.
That's because she diverted 100% of all digital traffic coming to her through her home server. The former secretaries of state did not do that at all. She was also harshly criticized, for keeping some of the email traffic from the State Department, which to this day she believes she wiped clean.
Now this, I'm going to stop the judge just a minute because for all my listeners, this thing has bothered Doc Holliday. One of the more egregious things that Hillary Clinton does is to think that she smugly believes she knows she can control everything that she writes and control everything in the government from her point of view, and she'll take out those things that she decides and it's not right, people, if she is a government employee and she doesn't want to follow the rules and the laws that everybody else has to follow. And then she can decide what we can see, what we can't see. That's complete control. And that's what she has done with her special server in the bathroom.
I happen to believe the FBI found what she thinks she wiped clean, but the report criticized her for not voluntarily returning to the State Department what she took with her when she left office.
Yeah, so in terms of the investigation, because you're saying this was the security review, it was
right.
Done at the State Department, it is damning, and it was done by their Inspector General, who is part of the State Department, but you know does this at an arm's length to get a, you know, an unbiased look at what she did. The FBI investigation is ongoing. What impact, if any, does this information have on the FBI investigation?
I don't think it has much impact on the FBI investigation because I think the FBI already knows this, but the political impact could be devastating. This is a very bad week for her. As we speak, our colleague Catherine Herridge is in a federal courtroom in Alexandria, Virginia, listening to this Romanian hacker tell a federal judge about the deal his lawyers cut with the Justice Department.
And as the judge was talking about, yes, there's the hacker who claims, from Romania, who claims he was able to get onto the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's server and get emails. So, and he's cutting a deal with the the FBI, Justice Department. Will our Attorney General indict Hillary Clinton? What do you think? Well, you know. Would President Obama and Loretta Lynch put the pretty much put the Democratic convention in chaos and Bernie come out the leader? I don't think so. So what's going to go on? Well, that makes things interesting. Does Hillary Clinton believe she's above the law? Of course she does. Every Clinton always does. And they smile and laugh and get through scandals with, say, it's no big deal. It's in the past. Forget about it. Let's move on. That's the Clinton way. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you about the Clinton way that happened with, that always happens with the Clintons, the way they campaign and the Democrats. But it's not working this time. I'm going to tell you about that on the other side of the break, along with some Trump supporters. And we're going to tell you some things that are going on in the campaign for Donald Trump and trying to bring the RNC and the Republican Party all together. But first, let me remind you, you're listening right here to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And I do want to say at the end of the show, I'll have a little ending tribute for Memorial Day. This is Memorial Day. And this whole week, we will celebrate it like we celebrate every day. We thank God for those willing to serve in the military from the very beginning, before this country was even founded, when General George Washington, before independence was declared, was up in Massachusetts fighting for freedom. And ever since then, every American who has put on a uniform, has served our country, is a hero. We honor those who have served and those who gave their all. And so I have something to say at the end of the show. I do want to remind our listeners that, yes, we got people listening from literally around the world. And we've talked about that before. We got people that are patriots and different people around the globe listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But the bulk of our listeners are in the United States. They are spread out north, south, east, west. And we appreciate every one of you. Continue to tell your friends and neighbors. Continue to tell those who are interested in this presidential race that they hear things here they won't hear anywhere else. And I do want to remind you, Doc Holliday has a new book. It's called Bedrock Truths. Not just me, but also Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., and Dr. Alex McFarland, a great evangelist who's been in every state preaching. And I do want you to know that together we put together this book really for this presidential election year, so conservatives will have a solid stand, some principles they can stand on. So that's why we said it's called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for Today. So click on the front page of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You'll see the cover of Bedrock Truths. Order that, one for your friends, one for yourself, and let's get the word out. We can work together, stand together, and we can make a difference in the life of this nation, bringing this country toward more freedom, more liberty. Let's make America great again, working together. I'll say that. And now, let me get you back. I told you, take a listen to this first.
I was very nervous. No woman should be subjected to it. But it was an assault.
He starts to bite on my top lip, and I try to pull away from him.
We will make America great again.
Now, what you just heard was an ad that Trump has been putting out in different places, and it's talking about the accusation of sexual misconduct by Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill Clinton, and has the Hillary laughing in there in the line. So Trump is going after Hillary and saying, don't try this sexist stuff on me. All right, you got a lot more of this coming. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means Donald Trump is a Republican candidate for president who is not going to back away from throwing out tough lines. Like he said all throughout the primary, when he's buzzsawed through 17 other opponents, I mean, cut them up one by one, got rid of them, and he is a counter puncher. And for so many years, I've heard Republicans say, oh, we got to be quiet. We don't want to upset this. We don't want to upset that. But Donald Trump's not afraid to upset some feelings of some Democratic liberals. He's not. So that's an ad. Now, is that going to be what we're going to see? I don't know. But I do know this, in the Clinton playbook, and you can go, I remember back in 1996 when Bill Clinton was running for reelection. Before the primary was even over, and Bob Dole was the presumptive nominee, and he looked like he had a nomination in 96. Before that was ever even decided, they started running commercials of tying Bob Dole to Newt Gingrich, who Newt had already made him look like a bad boy, and they tied Newt to, because Newt's negatives were sky high. They ran commercials tying Bob Dole to Newt Gingrich and ran his negatives up. And really, Dole never had a chance. Even by the time he got the nomination, Clinton just about had it sewed up because he had manipulated his political action team, had manipulated the mindset that Bob Dole was like Newt Gingrich, and the negatives were sky high, so we can't have this guy running for, you know, can't have this guy named Bob Dole as our president. Well, the Clinton team and the Democrats are good at that. In 1992, Clinton's team talked about the economy being the very worst since the Great Depression. And even though the economy, and you go back and statistics showed it, growth was jumping back and we were coming out of the recession, the news should have been good, but the media would not cover the good news of running even 4% growth. I mean, outstanding news in 1992 with the economy, but it never got played by the press. And again, Bill Clinton, trying to get the presidency, he succeeded by saying it was the worst economy since the Great Depression. So now what happened in 2012? Remember Mitt Romney? They started running commercials against Mitt Romney being rich and out of touch with mainstream America. And they said Romney can't know what the common American needs because he's out of touch. Look how rich he is. And again, Romney was pretty much, they just about destroyed his image, which if anybody run for president, he's probably the most squeaky clean candidate that any party's ever put up. And yet they made him look like he was a monster. That's what the Democratic PACs and teams did. So what does that mean? Well, right now, in normal years, Hillary Clinton and her team would be making Donald Trump look like a monster, putting ads out there, but they don't know what to do with Trump. And besides, they haven't gotten rid of Bernie Sanders yet. So it's putting a wrench in the gears of the Clinton campaign machine that they haven't run into before. And it's something that it's amazing to see how Donald Trump works. And keeps his name in the news and keeps his, and everybody wants to interview him. The media, he still is controlling, even though they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at him and already have started. But it is amazing to watch Donald Trump as a master of the mass media. Now, what else is Trump doing? Well, there are reports and polls showing that Donald Trump has been able to basically reach out into the black community unlike any other Republican. I've mentioned here that I think Donald Trump has a chance to reach into the black community because they've been taught so much for majority of their lives that the Republicans are haters, Republicans hate blacks, and that is not true. And it's we've talked about it, and we've had African Americans on this show talking about conservative politics and bringing jobs, and that's the secret I believe Donald Trump has to find, is bringing jobs to all Americans, but going to the inner cities, going to the black communities, and tell them how you're going to bring good paying jobs and bring the economy back. And Donald Trump may have a shot at getting a lot of black voters. I'm not the only one thinking this, because there's a pastor, Dr. Darrell C. Scott, in Cleveland, and he was at a Trump rally in Cleveland and had this to say.
This campaign is history making. Detractors try to say that Donald Trump is a divider. I beg to differ with them. Donald Trump is a unifier. I have with me today, the day of travel from Baltimore, American Sikhs for Trump, American Muslims for Trump. We have national, we black Republicans for Trump. We have all sorts of ethnic groups for Trump. He's not a divider. He's a unifier, because no other candidate could have had this many people show up in a meeting from all different walks of life. I'm almost done. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I sought for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap for my land. Donald Trump is that man. God has raised him up for such a time as this. There's a gap that exists between the people of America and Washington bureaucracy, and we're going to stand in the gap. We're going to make up the hedge with Donald Trump and restore our nation. Come on, say amen to me, somebody. Donald Trump is an unparalleled leader and developer with a gift for innovation and problem solving. He's a builder, a developer, a negotiator without equal, with the hand of God on his life. Because only God could take a black guy from the inner city streets of Cleveland and connect him with a white billionaire from upstate New York to try to do what we can do to make this country great again.
Wow. Now, that's Pastor Darrell C. Scott from Cleveland, has the largest church right there in Cleveland. And that's not Doc Holliday saying that. It's Pastor Darrell Scott. So he has, Donald Trump has at least one African-American excited for him. But I'm telling you, there's many more out there. I've talked to many of them myself, and some willing to get on the show. We may in the future have some African-Americans telling us why they like Donald Trump. But I do want you to know that with all the party not unifying completely yet, like Speaker of the House Ryan, we know Bill Kristol, who has some magazine that thinks is very important in conservative circles, but he's getting smaller and smaller, in my opinion. But these are the things that, when you say, well, the Republicans aren't unifying, look at some people who are being reached by Donald Trump that traditional Republicans have not reached. So very interesting to see what's going on. And that's why it's important for you to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because we're going to tell you some things here you won't hear anywhere else. And including next week's show, try to get this in for Memorial Day show this week. It didn't work out, but we'll working to get an interview with someone who actually, whose father was involved in an attempted assassination of Mussolini, a strong man in Italy during World War II. So that'd be interesting. We'll try to get that person on the air next week and tell you about that. And also, every week there's more and more presidential politics, and we're going to be digging into it. I had more on Hillary Clinton and emails today, and we just can't get it all in. So be sure to visit our Facebook page. We try to put some things on there that we can't get everything into this show. And let me just leave you with this. There is a tribute to those who have served our country, those who are serving our country now in the military. You are heroes. Since the time of George Washington, before the Declaration of Independence was ever signed, before it was ever written, George Washington, with patriots, those in state militias were fighting the British in Massachusetts. And we, as a nation, owe them our gratitude. Like we said, the Declaration of Independence was written. It was signed. But America was not free until there on Surrender Field. And you can go there in Virginia today, where Cornwallis had been cornered and trapped by General George Washington. And he had to sign the surrender papers. Cornwallis wouldn't show up. He acted like he was sick, sent somebody else in. And that's when George Washington wasn't going to face a second in command, and he allowed somebody else to help sign the surrender. And I have to just say, we were not free by just a paper Declaration of Independence. We were not free by the Declaration. We were free at Surrender Field when the war was over, when Cornwallis was defeated, the British went home, and the treaty was finally written. But it took the American military. It took our patriotic soldiers and those who have served ever since up until today have built on this amazing legacy of American ingenuity, our military skills, our military innovations. But it's the men and women of today's military who keep us safe. Our hats off to you. We remember those who gave their all. We remember those and salute those who, having lifelong injuries. And I've told you before about some friends over the years. Just in the past year, several World War II veterans have passed away that I knew who did such heroic acts as young 18, 19-year-old men in the 1940s. And some of them suffered severely throughout their lives. Some of shrapnel and bullet pieces still in their bodies to the day they died in their late 80s, early 90s. So God bless you. God bless America. And may God have his hand on this presidential election. Let's be on our hands and knees praying. Let's bring righteousness back in a mighty way. Let's thank those this week, Memorial Day. Thank you for those who have served and those who are serving today. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.